Good evening. Welcome to Left, Right and Centre. I'm Vishnu Shom on the programme tonight. More than 40 cases of a new variant of COVID called Delta Plus is now a huge cause of concern. What does this mean to you? On this programme, two of India's leading authorities, Dr. Anurag Agarwal, Director of the CSIR Institute of Genomics and Integrative Biology, possibly India's leading authority in understanding and tracking the new Delta Plus variant of COVID, along with Dr. Randeep Guleria, the Director of the All India Institute of Medical Sciences. Can this be the basis of a third wave in India? Next on the show, yesterday we brought you the utterly unexpected story of Jet Airways regaining its wings to fly with new owners. Today, the remarkable story of how the beleaguered Punjab and Maharashtra Cooperative Bank will now be saved, relief to thousands of small investors who saw their savings and dreams disappear. The bank is being acquired by a consortium of the Mumbai-based NBFC Centrum Finance, and the fintech firm BharatPay will be joined by BharatPay's Suhail Samir and also small investors who've suffered now for 21 months. But the big question, how dangerous is the new Delta Plus strain of COVID? Well, joining, let me go straight across to Dr. Agarwal. Is there anything thus far, Dr. Agarwal, to suggest that Delta Plus may be the basis of a third wave?
This is no. At this point, there is no such evidence to suggest that Delta Plus, which is basically a short form for Delta plus a new mutation, of which we are talking about one particular variant or one set, AY.1 and AY.2, has anything to do right now with a possible third wave. I'll stop there for now.
Dr. Agarwal, you know, just the numbers from Maharashtra which have just come in, yesterday they had reported 21 cases of Delta Plus. Today that's gone up to 37, right? And these are just the reported numbers thus far. We've seen also a geographical spread of Delta Plus, albeit in very small numbers. Given some of the characteristics, why is there no reason to be extremely worried about where this could be headed?
So for every number, we must know the denominator. Mm-hmm. My institute has sequenced more than 3,500 samples from Maharashtra in the month of June, covering samples from April and May. So we can see that these are very much there, but these would constitute less than 1% of what has been sequenced in a given run. Even in the areas where the numbers are higher, they're still not very high. And very importantly, we've been sequencing samples from the previous month and the current month. So things look stable. Now, let me be very clear. Any Delta sublineage is a variant of concern. So when I say this, that we should not be very concerned, what I really mean to say is, for any Delta, what anyway exists in India today, we must be concerned. We must be concerned about the second wave, not ending before we worry about the third wave. But I certainly do not see any reason right now for people to panic regarding Delta Plus being significantly worse than Delta or creating a major third wave in Maharashtra on its own back. We see absolutely no evidence for that. It's roughly as bad as other Delta for the time being.
Dr. Guleria, clinically, what are you seeing as far as Delta Plus is concerned? I'm told it affects the lungs more. I'm told that monoclonal antibody treatment is less. It doesn't really work with Delta Plus. Is there anything else, Dr. Guleria, that you're seeing which is of concern?
So first of all, we really need to understand that the number of cases currently are very few for us to really say what is the significance in terms of it causing more severe disease, or in terms of the fact that it could be causing a higher mortality, or the monoclonal antibodies may not work. Now, the important thing to remember here is that the number of cases currently are less, but at the same time, we need to be vigilant, and that's why it's a variant of concern, because the issue is that we should be lagging behind in terms of action that we need to take in case this variant becomes more infectious and starts spreading. The data is not there to suggest that, but one has to be careful, because if you go back to what happened in the second wave, there was suggestion that there was a new variant emerging. But by the time we really got hold of it, it had really gone out of control and we had a huge surge in the number of cases. Therefore, it's better to be vigilant and be cautious in terms of taking steps so that we don't get caught off guard by this virus as it mutates. But the current data doesn't really support a lot of concern that we have in terms of it causing more severe disease. Yes, that is a possibility. There are three possibilities that need to be explored. One is whether it's causing more severe disease, whether it's more infectious, or whether it has an immune escape mechanism, and therefore the monoclonal antibodies, the vaccine's efficacy, and the chance of reinfection may become higher. Currently, the evidence doesn't suggest that, but our sample is very small. We need to closely observe how the virus, the new variant, behaves in the next few days, and that will give us some idea as far as this is concerned.
Okay.
So cautious, we have to be cautious, but not really go into a panic mode.
Yeah, no, nobody is suggesting panic. But again, exactly as you said, Dr. Guleria, you know, when Delta was happening earlier on, a lot of people said, it's not very big, and, you know, we'll see, and we don't see it expanding, and then it went completely out of control. But be that as it may, and let's just hope and pray that this doesn't become something like that. My next question to Dr. Agarwal is this. By when will we be in a position to say the antibodies work, they work with this efficacy, or they work with reduced efficacy? And in terms of the symptoms of Delta Plus, when will we be in a clearer position to say that a person coming in with these symptoms likely has it and therefore needs to be treated in a certain way?
So let me take it from where Dr. Guleria very nicely left it. One possibility is, of course, of higher transmissibility.
Right.
The easiest way to look at that is in relation to a previous variant, which is Delta in this case. So what we see in 1 month is that Delta, and we will call it AV.1, just to be accurate, they have basically both gone up. Kappa and Alpha have more or less disappeared. So they are similar to each other as it looks at 1 month.
Right.
We are sequencing very frequently for the districts that are involved, and we are using very expedited 24-hour sequencing as required. So within this, every week, we have more data. As of now, like I said, it is a variant of concern. It is at least as bad as Delta. We don't think it is any less spreading than Delta, but doesn't seem to be faster as of yet. The second question Dr. Guleria very correctly raised, is it more severe? So far, out of all the cases that were there, we have not been able to see. Well, we know every one of those cases by now. They have not been more severe. One person who had severe disease already had significant age and comorbidities. And the last question of immune escape. There have been a few vaccine breakthroughs, but then Delta was also creating a number of vaccine breakthroughs. To, as the number goes up, we will know more. And regarding your question regarding monoclonal antibody treatment, as you know, very few patients in India undergo monoclonal antibody treatment. So when we will be able to answer that question...
No, but does it work or not? I mean, irrespective of the number of people... who actually, people who can afford it might be able to get it. That's a
no,
separate
so you
issue.
Would not, so you would never know whether a treatment works on this variant until it is tried on a person with this
then
variant.
Then why government press releases, has this appeared, that monoclonal antibody treatment may not be effective?
So K417N, the mutation in this particular one, has been shown in cultured condition with the virus, not to be able to block the virus.
Okay.
So this provides a guidance to what to look for, because as Dr. Guleria said, we have to look for type 1, type 2, type 3. If you don't know what you're going to look for, you will not look for it. So these are guidances.
Okay. Dr. Guleria, one more key aspect of all of this. In our vaccination process, we need to start getting very serious about vaccinating children as well. And now we are told that, trials, for even young children, very young children should be starting soon. Where are we? I believe even two-year-olds and those above that age, the process of vaccination or whether it's safe or not has started out. Where do we lie with that, sir? Dr. Guleria.
So the process of the trials has already started. The Bharat Biotech, which is looking at vaccinating children from the age of 2 years to 18 years, has already started and a number of children have been vaccinated. There's been a very good response in terms of children wanting to come and get themselves vaccinated, parents bringing them. And therefore, I think we will be able to complete the recruitment very early. And then you just need to follow up the children just to see that they have good antibodies and to see what is the if the vaccines are safe and they have no side effects. So over the next 2-3 months, I think we will have good robust data, which will be able to tell us that these vaccines work against children even as young as 2 years old, and they should then get the regulatory approval. Pfizer already has a regulatory approval, but for a little older age group. The other important thing to remember, which I'd like to highlight here, is that although we're talking of vaccination in children, two things are important. The current data still suggests that the mortality is higher in the elderly and those with comorbidities as compared to children, and therefore we must focus on vaccinating them first as fast as possible. Secondly, if we looked at data which was even through the vaccine trial data, vaccine recruitment data, and some data which was published by us as part of a trial, when we looked at the antibodies in children, we found that significant number of children already had antibodies in them,
right,
although they had no evidence of infection. As a matter of fact, even for the trial, almost 50 to 60% of children who come for the vaccine trial cannot be recruited into the trial because they already have antibodies and they've had past infection. What it suggests is that children already possibly had infection in the past, they've recovered, and we have a good amount of immunity which may be present in children. So this worry that the next wave may really affect them in a bad way probably is not correct.
All right. I'd like to thank you, gentlemen, very much for joining us. And Dr. Agarwal, it's great to know that at the moment, lots of riders and, one is being careful, and as are you both gentlemen, that this Delta Plus variant is not going to be what causes a third wave, and that there is no evidence right now to suggest that it is more dangerous than the Delta variant itself. The numbers are very limited, but more studies need to be done. We're going to quickly move on now to another one of our top story. The process of realizing the assets of some of India's biggest economic offenders, whether it's Mehul Choksi or Nirav Radia or Vijay Mallya, that has actually started with banks getting assets worth 9,371 crore rupees. That is 40% of the loss that the banks have actually suffered. There are several banks who are part of the process of recovering the dues. Now, the Enforcement Directorate has transferred part of these assets directly. That's part of the legal process, and then they will be liquidated. So whether it's homes or other physical assets, the process of getting back money from owed to banks has started. The banks, remember, suffered this whopping loss, 22,585 crore rupees. So how much or what percentage of that will actually be recovered in the long run? So no one really knows that, because the process of selling them, that's going to depend. And given the state of the economy, how much people are willing to pay, one doesn't know. But at the moment, the ED, the Enforcement Directorate, has attached assets worth 18,170 crores. That is 80% of the total number of the total bank loss. So that's what they managed to get around to. So again, how much will banks ultimately be able to get back? Over 10,000 crores worth of assets in all of this belong to Vijay Mallya alone. Choksi, Modi's gemstones and windmill farm are part of the attachment. And banks will get 6,600 crores worth of shares of Vijay Mallya in UBL. So that's part of the process which is going on. Efforts are underway to extradite Mallya, Modi and Choksi. Some progress in certain cases, not very much progress in other cases. Well, let's move on now to the other big focus that we have on the program this evening. The process of saving Punjab Maharashtra Cooperative Bank. It's a remarkable story because there is a new owner, a consortium, and this brings a lot of relief to families who've been badly affected, who saw their life savings disappear 21 months back. Well, yesterday we brought you the utterly unexpected story of Jet Airways regaining its wings to fly with new owners. Today, the remarkable story of how the beleaguered Punjab and Maharashtra Cooperative Bank will now be saved. That's relief to thousands of small investors who saw their savings and their dreams disappear. The bank will now be acquired by a consortium of the Mumbai-based MBFC Centrum Finance and the fintech firm BharatPay. Remember, PMC came under the control of the Reserve Bank of India in 2019 after it turned out that the management colluded, allegedly, with the HDIL group to illegally provide loans of 6,500 crores, or 73% of its total loan book size. Joining us now, Sohail Sameer, the group president of Bharat Pay. It's wonderful to speak to you because I think, you know, it really does bring a great deal of hope to so many people who will be watching this program, small investors. So my first question is this. Will depositors in the bank get their money back?
I hope so, Som. I think where we are right now, I think it's too soon to say in the process. Right now, RBI has given us an in-principle approval along with Centrum to set up a small finance bank, right? So once the small finance bank is operational, which would take roughly 3 to 4 months, RBI has given us 120 days to make it operational. In parallel, they will finalize the reconstruction plan for PMC. And at the end of this, when the SFB, which we and Centrum promote, is operational, they will sort of take the decision on merging the PMC or amalgamating the PMC bank with this, right? So I think it's still like probably a few months before we know the exact answer on the PMC depositors. But all our conversations with RBI sort of seem to suggest that retail depositor interest is paramount, and that's what they will try to protect.
So, Sohail, the bank registered a negative net worth of 5,850 crores in financial year 2020. Why did you choose to take on this asset? Isn't it a huge risk for you?
Yeah, it is. But I think, at least for all our conversations with RBI, they are doing their best and they are bringing in DIGC to at least ensure that we start with a slate which is not as drastically wrong, bad as sort of you are suggesting, right? So, and for us, a fintech company and an NBFC coming together and promoting a bank, it's, I don't want to sort of sound very pessimistic, but it's not like there were millions of banks we could have started with.
No, right? I think it's fantastic. And I'll come to that in a moment. But, you know, you made a point a few minutes back where you said that you've been given this 120-day period. Now, Centrum has been given 120 days to convert its operations into a bank. How challenging is that time period going to be?
So this has been a few months in the conversation, right? So it's not we've been caught cold here. Okay. I think we are sort of ready. We would hope to actually do this slightly sooner. This includes some approvals from lenders at Centrum to convert into a bank. So that may take a bit of time. It requires probably end audit from RBI to declare the final fit and proper and actually give us the final approval. That may take a bit of time, but in general, I think these timelines are workable and we are hoping to sort of wrap it up sooner rather than the 120th day.
You know, there was this interesting quote from the Business Standard, and let me repeat that quote, this, you know, a statement in an article which said, Bharat Pay, a barely three-year-old payment startup, is going to be the half-owner of a bank in India, a prize that has eluded many of the country's pedigreed tycoons. How did you manage to do that?
No, I think RBI has been in touch with us for many years. They see the business we've done. It is a first. It's a great victory for us. It's also a big responsibility for us to deliver, because if we are able to deliver to the RBI mandate, it will hopefully pave the way for many fintechs going forward, sort of building banks in the country, right? But I think you have to also put it in context what we've achieved in 3 years. Not many people have, right? So today we process payments worth $10 billion on an annualized basis on our systems. Most of the banks sort of don't do it on UPI and POS systems, right? So we've overtaken in 3 years, a completely homegrown country, a company has overtaken Google Pay on the UPI peer-to-merchant payments, right? That doesn't happen by fluke, right? It's taken a lot of effort in thinking through what do we want to do and sort of executing that on the ground. And sort of RBI took notice of that, right? And with Centrum, we have sort of a credible partner. Jaspal and his team ran Stancy for Asia in the past. They've run NBFCs for a couple of decades. I think the combination of us provides us both the conventional sort of lending capabilities and branch operation capabilities. And with Bharat Pay coming in, provides us sort of the digital capabilities to actually make a hopefully India's first truly digital bank, right? And we've been talking neo-banking for a while in the country, but this is sort of first test of whether someone can come and actually execute that on the ground versus just providing credit in a cute form.
You know, tens of millions of India's small retailers have always relied on, you know, personal equations with wholesalers for credit. that's the way an entire system affecting the lives of so many has worked. It still works that way.
Yeah.
How critical is it to bring in this group into the ambit of formal lending? Obviously, the people come into the tax network. That serves a national priority. But there is a great deal more reliability in bringing in small investors and borrowers into a formalized bank network. So how is this effort of yours also a part of that goal?
No, so I think we've always thought of ourselves as a merchant first company. And that's when we even started formal loans to merchants. And, you know, they are not in the tax ambit, a large part of them. And therefore, it's very difficult for them to access formal credit, right? Because a bank trying to underwrite them on conventional data will most likely draw a blank, right? So, and these guys suffer because of that, right? You know the corner money lender rates. There is no point sort of discussing them. You know most of those loans are securitized. And beyond a point of time, security runs out. And therefore, these guys can't grow their business, right? So I was talking to a journalist a few days back, and he told me, he said, made an interesting line. He said, Dukandar, dukan nahi, desh chalata hai, right? So, and it sort of resonated with me. And our job here is to ensure we operate as a merchant first sort of a company as BharatPay, and really meet the credit as well as sort of the investment needs of these guys, right? And that's sort of the purpose we've stuck to, and that's sort of hopefully the purpose we'll stay by as we go ahead.
So a final question to you, you know, what is your final message then to depositors in the bank who've had their assets freezed? I know in June RBI gave more. So what is your message to the depositors who lost hope?
No, I think as far as I know, again, I don't want to overstep my prerogative. But as far as we understand as BharatPay and Centrum, I think RBI is sort of working extremely fast on resolving this. And at least sort of the ideas they have toyed with, they're all coming with a point of view of retail depositor first, right? And that's sort of their paramount sort of concern as we go about setting up the SFB and the amalgamation of PMC. So I would just say, stay tight. You've waited so long, wait another 2-3 months, and hopefully there is sort of a meaningful outcome for all of us at the end of this.
Well, congratulations. It's a huge challenge ahead, but it certainly gives a lot of hope to a lot of people out there. And thank you so much for speaking to us.
Thank you, Som. Take care.
Well, what we are doing now is we're going to be joined by some of the small investors in the bank who saw their dreams evaporate, their savings evaporate, their lifetime's earnings disappeared. But it's going to come back, and it's secure is, I think, the essential message there. Chandar Purswani, the president of the PMC Depositors Forum, is with us. We're also with Manjula, joined by Manjula and Surinder Singh, who is also a depositor in the bank. Let me go across to Manjula first. Manjula, when this crisis struck the bank, how did your life change instantly?
Actually, bank mein crisis hone ki wajah se mujhe bahut problem hone lagi hai.
Ji.
Ladki ki shaadi ruk gayi hai, paisa paani nahi hai, aadmi ka kaam nahi chal raha hai. Aur abhi lockdown ki wajah se bhi mujhe bahut problem hone lagi hai. Kuch samajh mein nahi aa raha hai, hum log kab bank chalu karenge? Hum log ko bas itna kehna hai ki hum log ko hamara paisa pura dega.
You ask me personally, I mean, I also have my current account there. The business account was there and other saving accounts are there. Plus my family accounts are there. So entire money got stuck there personally. Now coming to the 9 lakh depositors who are there, we have been suffering since last 21 months. We have been running from pillar to post. I welcome this, what RBI has done. At least now they have given this thing to Centrum and BharatPay, and they are going to infuse a certain amount of funds. But what we required was the depositors want the money. They cannot face any more stress and strain because the people have died here. There are 159 PMC family members which we have lost. So everybody is facing such a stress and strain. Now, again, we have to wait for 4 months. It would have been better if the amalgamation would have also been there, and RBI should have supported, saying that, you know, each and every depositor is, retail depositor is protected, which RBI always says. That's what we wanted from them. So, I mean, from all of the depositors whom I represent, this statement I would love if Shaktikanta Das could give this statement saying that all, each and every depositor is safe and secured. That helps us because then the people will not panic and they will relax. We will not have further deaths.
But are you relieved that this nightmare is going to end in 3 to 4 months? That's exactly what
Suhail Samir says. At present, the situation is like that with the depositor. There are a lot of depositors who don't have money to even, you know, run their livelihood, which is very difficult. They are going to, you know, the temple, the gurdwaras, and etc., you know, trying to beg the thing. So that is the dignity of the senior citizen which is left. Senior citizens who had parked their money, all the retired funds was parked in PNC. They have living on the interest. How do they live for another 6 months? My question is that.
How will they survive for six months? It's certainly a very valid question, and it is a nightmarish time that all of you have had for 21 months. One can just hope that this works out in a finite period of time and you can access those funds once again. Thank you so much for sharing that with us.